Matthew 5 and verse 5, as we continue in the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I have in your lesson that as we look at these, you know what we're seeing here in these Beatitudes? We're seeing a description of true citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And this is important because the audience that the Lord is speaking to here are those Jews or Israelites who had been taught wrong concerning the law of Moses and who imagined that they were citizens of the kingdom of heaven, that they were children of God. And of course, the Lord starts out by showing now these right here in these Beatitudes, these are the true. This is the character. This is the attitude. This is the spiritual quality of character evidenced by the true citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And every one of these things, it's important that we always remember that what we're seeing here is not things that are natural to human beings, sinful human beings. We're all born spiritually dead. We fell in Adam. We're spiritually dead. So when he talks about those who are poor in spirit, when he talks about those that mourn, and today those that are meek, he's not talking about qualities of character that are natural to sinful human beings. All right? And then he's not talking about human achievement here. This is not something that a certain segment of sinful human beings achieve over and above other human beings. If you're poor in spirit, truly poor in spirit, as identified not just in the Beatitude here, but in all of Scripture, if you truly mourn over sin, if you truly are meek in a godly way, that's the work of God. That's the work of Christ by the Spirit when He gives us a new heart and brings us to faith in Christ. In fact, every spiritual quality of character described here stems from faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. It's the work of God. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then it says what? We are His workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That is, it's all based upon the glorious person and finished work of Christ, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What you're seeing described here in these Beatitudes is the work of God, the workmanship of God, the grace of God. And that's stated in that one simple word, blessed. To be blessed of God is to be a sinner saved by grace. To be blessed of God is to be one whom God chose before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ and conditioned all of your salvation upon Him. To be blessed of Christ is to be justified before God, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness imputed. To be blessed of God is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. He paid the full price. He didn't leave me anything to pay on that. To be blessed of God is to be born again by the Spirit and brought to faith in Christ. So there you have it. So this is the work of God. It's not the product. To be meek, to be poor in spirit, to be mournful is not the product or the result of the human will. It involves a change in the human will, but it's a change that God brings about by His Spirit as He convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, also understand this. Satan does have counterfeits for all of this. Poor in spirit, mournful, meek, all that. Satan has counterfeits for this. Now, how can we tell the difference between true Holy Spirit workmanship in these areas and Satan's counterfeits? I'll tell you how. It's in the context of the gospel. The true gospel, wherein the righteousness of God reveals. And that's the second thing we need to realize about these spiritual qualities of character are not any part of the righteousness that we plead before God. for our salvation and our justification. They're the work of God. They're a change of heart. It's necessary. But this is not my righteousness. Christ is my righteousness. And everything that he says here, like, for example, the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, Christ is the King of heaven who earned it, who established it, and who brings his people into it. They that mourn, they'll be comforted. The difference between Satan's counterfeit in this mourning and the true citizens of the kingdom of heaven in their mourning is that the true citizens of the kingdom of heaven will find absolutely no comfort except in Christ crucified and risen from the dead. No comfort at all. They won't find any comfort in their decisions or their baptism or their works or their what they call their evidences. They find it in Christ and his righteousness alone. Now, what about this meekness? Well, first of all, understand that to be meek is not the same as being weak. I think a lot of people may think that way. A person who's meek is somebody who's a weakling, but that's not true. The Lord himself was not a weak person, but he was called meek, and I've got listed here. You know, this is in Matthew 21 and verse 5, I've got it listed in your lesson here. That's when he was riding into Jerusalem triumphantly on the donkey. And they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Well, it says, he quoted here in Matthew 21, 5, tell ye, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. In other words, he was showing that his coming into Jerusalem with the hosannas and all of that, that was a fulfillment of prophecy. And he would be a meek person. Now, how was Christ meek? Well, he submitted himself to the will of his Father for the salvation of his people. He took everything that the Father required for the salvation of his people. Every condition for their salvation was laid upon his shoulders, and he freely and lovingly accepted that. The Bible says in John 13:1, I didn't list that in your lesson here, but John 13:1, it says that he loved his own people, his sheep, unto the end. The word end there means finishing of the work. It's the same word that he used in John 19:30 on the cross. It is finished. In other words, Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father. And I forgot to add this passage. I want you to look at it. It's Philippians chapter 2. This shows the meekness of Christ. And again, he was not weak. But he came to this earth and took into union with his deity a perfect sinless humanity in submission to the will of his Father. You see that? In submission to the will of his Father to do what? To fulfill all righteousness. Remember, he said that to John the Baptist at his baptism. Suffer it to be so for us to fulfill all righteousness. He submitted himself unto the law. He's the lawgiver. Well, I'm going to talk about Moses in the message this morning. Where Moses stood before that burning bush, that's a pre-incarnate visitation of Christ, I believe. And later on, he gave Moses the law. He's the lawgiver. Well, he submitted himself to his own law. In fact, we're going to see later on in Matthew chapter 5 where he said, I didn't come to break the law, I came to fulfill the law. And he did it as the surety and substitute of his people. But look here in verse 5 of Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now, in the Old Testament, the word meek is often can often be translated as humble. But now every one of those beatitudes fall under the umbrella of humility, godly humility. But now meekness is a certain aspect of humility, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's why he kept telling him, he said, I didn't come to do mine own will, but the will of my Father. He wasn't denying his deity there. He was simply showing his servitude to the Father as God-man to save his people from their sins. He was showing his meekness, submission. That's what it was about. He was a man of sorrows. He submitted himself to the derision and criticism and false accusations of sinful men. Remember, he told Peter and the rest of them, he said, you know, I could call 10,000 angels if I wanted. You remember when they came to arrest him? And they said, he said, who do you seek? He said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they all fell back. If he didn't want them to take him and arrest him and crucify him, he could have stopped it. That's why that silly old false preacher from up in Ohio said, well, if I'd been there, I'd have stopped it. Are you crazy? Are you kidding me? He said, he could have called 10,000 angels. There's a song about that, you know. But he submitted. Why? For the glory of his Father and the good of his people. The salvation of his people, his sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He knew that's what it took to save his people from their sins and bring in the righteousness that God requires. Now, Moses was not a weak person, but he's described as one who was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth, over in Numbers chapter 12. So that's the first thing. Meekness is not weakness. So what is meekness? Don't think of weakness. Think of that word I've been using, submission. That's what meek means. Submission. Submission to who? Submission to God. Submission to God's word. That's what meekness is. Now, I've got in your lesson here. People will naturally submit to themselves. Now, you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, think about it. Anyone who thinks more highly of themselves than they ought is actually submitting to themselves. When Cain decided naturally that he was going to bring the works of his hands to seek salvation and acceptance with God, what was he doing? He wasn't being submitted to God there. Because God said, that's not the way. Here's the way of the blood. The way of the lamb, the way of the seed of woman, the way of a blood-bought sacrifice. Grace, the way of the cross, the way of righteousness imputed. That's what God says. Cain said, well, I'm not going to submit to that. I've got a better way. Cain was not a meek man. No sinner who comes to God seeking salvation or blessing based upon their efforts, their works, or their will, submits to God. That's right. God's way. There's one way of salvation. When God the Holy Spirit gives us a new heart in the new birth, what does He do? He causes us to submit to God's way. You remember in Romans chapter 10, where Paul talked about the Israelites who were ignorant of God's righteousness and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. When God the Holy Spirit convicts a sinner of sin, his poverty of spirit, and brings him to be contrite and penitent in the way of mourning, what does that sinner do? He submits to God's way. God, your way is right, my way is wrong. Your way is the only way. And I repent of every other way. That's the issue. We submit to God's word. God's word is the right. Let God be true and every man a liar. In that sense, that's what he's talking about. You know, you take a person who has a good reputation in business, in relationships on this earth as being an honest person. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to a right relationship with God, every man, every woman is a liar. Until God intervenes, shows us His way, and brings us to submit. And that's the meek that He's talking about. God's will, God's way. And so, how do we know God's will and God's way? His Word. This is God's Word. The Word of the King is to be obeyed. Isn't that right? I mean, these are, listen, you know, I hear these guys all the time, they argue, say, well, the believer's not under the law. Well, we're not under the old covenant law, but we're under the law of Christ. Not in order to be saved, not in order to be made righteous, because His law forbids that. But here's the thing. When the King states something, He's not making suggestions. You understand that? It's just like your children. Have you ever said to your children, you told them to do something and they didn't want to do it, and they say, why? And you said, because I said so. Why? Because you're the head of the house. You're the daddy. You're the mama. You're the one who makes the rules in this house. This, you ever said to them, say, if you live in my house, you're going to go by my rules, that kind of thing? Well, we're in God's house. And when He states something, it's not a suggestion. It's not up for a vote. The kingdom of heaven is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. It's a Christocracy. And the king, what the king says is law. And he says, here's the gospel, here's the way of salvation. We submit. There's only one way of righteousness, Christ's righteousness imputed. Submit. That's what meekness is. Now, I've listed several things. I've already mentioned several of these, but just to go through them. God-given meekness. God-given meekness brings a sinner to take his rightful and honest place as a helpless sinner before God. Knowing this, salvation's of the Lord. It's not of me. If I'm a sinner saved by grace, if I'm justified, it's not of me. It's the workmanship of God. He's the potter. You know what I was? The clay. And if I'm saved, the Bible says I was a vessel of mercy. Marked out for that before the foundation of the world. Now I'm going to tell you something. That's humility. That's humbling. For no reason whatsoever, no reason I can figure out. Somebody says, well, why did God choose me? I don't know. If He'd have looked at anything in me, He would have said, to hell with Him. That's what He would have said. And that's what we submit. That's how, you know, I think several months ago, we were talking about this on Wednesday night. How can we keep the doctrine of election from being a point of pride? Because the Jews did turn it into a point of pride. Here's how election can be a point of pride. If you think that God chose you based upon anything about you, in you, or done by you, that's when it becomes a doctrine of pride. The Jews thought they were chosen because they were physically connected to Abraham, because they were circumcised, and because they kept the law. That's pride. But why did God choose any of us? It seemed good in His sight. Had nothing to do with it. Listen, just like one old preacher said, if God came down here and gave everybody and said, now I'm going to save you if you'll let me, if you'll just make the right choice, according to the Bible, every one of us would make the wrong choice. Every one of us. Because of our natural pride and self-righteousness. Salvation is of the Lord. There's a God-given meekness brings a sinner to submit to God's way of salvation and righteousness by Christ. I have nothing to recommend me unto God. Now, later on, And I often refer to this passage in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, where these professing Christians stood before the Lord and said, "Haven't we preached in your name? Haven't we done many wonderful works?" All of that. Is that what makes me righteous before God? The fact that I'm up here preaching the truth? I don't believe I'm preaching a lie, do you? I believe I'm preaching the truth. But does that make me righteous before God? No. I have no righteousness to plead before God, but the righteousness of His Son imputed to me. That's it. No other reason. And that's what this that's one way this meekness is evidenced. God given, when he talked about in Matthew, I referenced here Matthew 11, where he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And he said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is..." That yoke, that's the yoke of God's love and grace in Christ. But it brings us to submission, to be servants, bond slaves. I didn't put that in your lesson. If I keep these lessons to a front and back page, I can't put everything on here. So if I was writing a book on this, which I may do sometime, I'll add all that to it. But God-given meekness causes a sinner to acknowledge this. Now listen, if God were to judge him at any time based on his best efforts to do right, that sinner would be condemned. Now that's so. That's submission to God's judgment. God-given meekness brings a sinner saved by grace to submit to God's judgment of saved and lost. Now, I do not enjoy saying anybody is lost. Do you? I hope you don't. Even our worst enemies. I don't want to see anybody perish. But the fact that I have that desire, and that desire is part of loving our neighbor as ourself. I certainly don't want to perish. So I don't want to see anybody else perish. Plus the fact I know this, my worst enemy in relation to the gospel, if God ever were to save that person, he wouldn't be my worst enemy anymore. But here's the thing. The fact that I don't enjoy saying anybody's lost doesn't change the fact that they are lost. If they don't believe Christ, if they don't believe the gospel, isn't that right? The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that believe not. And so we have to submit to God's judgment in these areas. When we recognize the lostness of any person, what do? Well, we pray for their salvation. We even pray for opportunities. God, give me the opportunity to preach the gospel or tell them the gospel. And then we pray that God would change, give them a new heart. Isn't that right? Now, there's a lot of people I never have opportunity to speak to. And I'm not going to go bust down the door. The scripture tells me not to do that. There's some I have opportunity to preach to or to talk to who don't want to hear it again. What does the Bible tell me to do? It says, wipe the dust off your feet and move on. That's a sad thing, isn't it? I hope that, I heard a preacher one time talking about a false prophet. And, was talking about how I hope God sends him to a burning hell and all that. Well, the fact, and they go by Galatians 1 where Paul says, let him be anathema. False gospels. I don't believe Paul there was relishing in the fact of his desire to send anybody to hell. What Paul was doing there was simply recognizing if they're not preaching the true gospel, if they're not submitted to God's truth, we have to say they're cursed of God. They're lost. Saul of Tarsus, think about how many Christians were afraid of him before God converted him. And somebody said, well, do you think they expected Saul to be converted? Well, how could they? when he was on the Damascus Road, as my old former pastor used to say, he wasn't on his way to a prayer meeting. But God stopped him and saved him. So we do pray. But we don't want to fool ourselves. We want to submit to God's judgment. So we have to be careful about saying, well, this person's saved and this person's lost or anything like that. We have to be careful to go totally by God's word on this area. You say, well, they believe in Christ. Well, we say, well, is it the true Christ as he is identified and distinguished in the Bible? That's the key. The gospel. What is the gospel? Well, God given on, I see it's the 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth paragraph down on the second page, I left out the word meekness. God given, it says. And so put the word meekness in there. God given meekness is the disposition of spirit in which a sinner saved by grace recognizes and acknowledges that God is just and wise in all his dealings and judgments with men. In other words, here's what meekness will say. Whatever God does is right. You understand that? If God does it, it's right. One old preacher said, God doesn't just do right. It's right because God does it. So whatever God does, he's right. Remember when God came to Abraham about Sodom, and there's Lot down in Sodom, and Abraham was telling, you know, if there's just 50, is there 40, if you know, is there 5 righteous men? Well, God knew what he was going to do. He knew the score. But here's what Abraham said in Genesis chapter 18. He said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God judges according to truth. And so whatever God does right is right. So I referenced there Romans 9, you know. Who art thou, O man, that argues, debates with God? And then God-given meekness brings a sinner to rely on God's goodness and strength in all things rather than his own. A meek person is one who recognizes that every good and perfect gift comes from God. The next breath I take is a gift from God. I didn't earn it and didn't deserve it. It's God-given. And then God-given meekness brings a sinner to acknowledge that all he has in this life and in salvation is a free gift. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That's it. Well, for they shall inherit the earth. Notice it says they're going to inherit something. You don't earn an inheritance. And you really don't even deserve it. Now, somebody said, well, if a father bequeaths riches to his son deserves that because he's his father's son. But you see, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to a right relationship with God, we've got to first understand that we don't deserve to be children of God. We weren't naturally born into that. We're brought into that by the spirit of adoption, and adoption is of grace. So the inheritance that we receive, as Peter described it, as being incorruptible and reserved in heaven for us, something we don't deserve and don't earn. Now he said they're going to inherit the earth. Well, that's true, but not this earth. It's a new earth. Read about it in 2 Peter chapter 3. This earth, this world is under the curse of God because of sin. And it's going to be burnt up and made new, and that's the earth we're going to inherit. So in other words, it's all of grace. Those who are meek, submissive to God's will and God's way of salvation, they're going to inherit and inhabit the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. No sin at all, no sorrow at all. Okay, stop there.